Okay, good morning. We are in Rosh Nun Tet. Today's shiur is sponsored for Rafua Shlema to Chava Bat Naima and Orit Bat Rachel Esther. Seif Bet. Hanotnim Avanim Levanim Saviva Kedera Tzrich Shechadem Lekach Le'olam. Okay, let's say you want to place stones on Shabbos around your pot. So the halacha is, you have to set them aside or they're muksa. Okay? Presumably at this point we're talking about Erev Shabbos because of Mosif Hevel, but let's see. Depends on the case. But the point is, if you're using stones to put around your pot, make sure they're not muksa. How do you do that? Since stones in general are muksa, right? Little stones and pebbles you see on the ground. So therefore, in order for them not to be muksa, you have to set them aside forever, not just one Shabbos. If it's not, we're going to learn later on, I think it's in Shin Chet, but we'll see later on, that if it's something that's normally used, that has a purpose, you don't have to set it aside le'olam, it could just be for a short time. But if it's something that not normally has a regular purpose, like a stone or a twig on the floor, so then in order for it not to be muksa, it must be le'olam forever. Shehare. Since you don't, as long as you don't set them aside, they're as if they're thrown to the ground, thrown away from your use. Hilkach asur letal telan, and therefore you're not allowed to move them. It's muksa. Imloshiat sneem umiyachadan lekach, unless you set them aside. Okay, right, that's what muksa means. It means you set it aside from using it, and then that's when it becomes muksa. Okay, gimel. If you have, you did hatmana, we're assuming Erev Shabbos, of course, you did hatmana with the gizei tzemer, with wool. So he says like this, so we're talking about something here that's muksa. So it's, Once you take it out, it's like in a pot, it's like in a container full of them. So when you take it out, some of the hole disappears, right? The hole, the space that you had for the pot, it like caves in on itself. So even with kalkala, if it's wrapped up with things that are muksa, and your hole got ruined, it caved in on itself when you took it out, so then you can't put it back. But you are allowed to lechatchila, take the chance, take the risk. You're allowed to take the pot out, even though you know that it might cave in and you might not be able to return it. There's no gzera like that. We're not afraid you're going to come and dig out the hole again and put it back in. So that's the halacha. V'yesh omrim, but there is an opinion. Even if it's with something that you're allowed to, there's without muksa. If the guma gets ruined, it caves in on itself. Even if there's, if it's not muksa, you're not allowed to return it. Why? It's like a gzera. And then what happens is you're going to end up making your hole again, and even though it's not muksa, it looks like you're doing hatmana for the first time in, on Shabbos, which is, so that's why so there is an opinion that's, that says it's aser. Okay. Dalit. Taman b'davar she'eno nital v'chisa piya b'davar nital. Okay, so now, you covered it up. Let's say the lid is not muksa, but around it, or there's no muksa on top of it, but around it, you did hatmana with things that are muksa, so not a problem. Megaleh kisui, you just lift up the top, ve'ochez ba'kedera, and you can hold the kedera or take it out, u'motzi'ah, and it's no problem. Okay. That's simple. Hey. However, taman v'chisa b'davar she'eno nital. But what happens if you wrap it and cover it completely? Right? You buried it in something that's muksa. So what happens? If part of the dish that's not muksa is, you can reach it, then you can pick it up with your hands, not a problem. The imlav ain't a notel. But if it's completely buried and you cannot reach the lid or anything to take it out, the handles, nothing. It's completely carried with something that's muksa, you're not allowed to. Okay. Now, it seems to be though, if you do it, like we mentioned yesterday, if you would do it kila achar yad, that you use an elbow or your backhand or somewhere that's not you're not using your hand in a normal fashion, that would be allowed. But the halacha, you'll see, throughout the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is always written as if, in general, you're using your hands like normal. We're not, generally, the Shulchan Aruch does not consider kila achar yad in general. So he's telling you the halacha, I mean, that it's muksa. And if the things are muksa, so you can't move it. He's not going to tell you every time he mentions the halacha of muksa, he's not going to tell you, but if you do kila achar yad, then it's okay. Alright, Vav. Yom Tov Shechal Yod Pe'erev Shabbos. What happens if Yom Tov is on Erev Shabbos and you want to wrap it up on Erev Shabbos? Right? Yom Tov, you're allowed to Ochel Nefesh. So that's not the problem. The issue is, Yesh mi she'oser lehatmin ba'avanim mishum dehavei kamo binyan. So we don't usually do something like this nowadays, but they sometimes would set up stones around it to set up for insulation, to keep it insulated. They would set up stones. So the first, this first opinion, there isn't that it's aser, because you're setting up the stones on Yom Tov, assuming that they're not muksa, you set them aside. But the problem is, it looks like you're building. Okay, so that's the problem of an iser derabanan. However, Yesh matirin, let's keep reading. V'yesh matirin. Some say no, it's not a problem. They weren't gozer in such a case, and that's the halacha. Machlok at Rishonim. Okay. Zayin. Tanur shemanichim bo hachamim. V'sotmin piv bedav v'shorkin perush machlikin oto betit. So they used to have these ovens. They would close, they had a piece of wood, a board of wood of some sort. They would put it by the opening. And they would seal it. And they would seal it with some kind of a cement, some kind of a clay, they would seal it with something. So, and it wasn't a permanent thing. It was very temporary. So it's not a real problem of Bidyan Bekelim. Even Midarabanan, since it's a very temporary way of doing it, and your kavana is to do it for a very short time. So the Mikar Din, there's not even a problem whatsoever. This is on Yom Tov or Shabbos. Yom Tov or Shabbos. Okay. So the halacha is like this. Again, Mutar Listor Otas Stima, Shulchan Aruch writes, even on Shabbos, you're allowed to open it and close it with this teat. Kedei, lahotzi, I don't know, Play-Doh, whatever they used to use in those days. Something, putty. Kedei lahotzi achamin v'lachzor l'satmo. You're allowed to open and close it. V'im yesh, so that's not a problem. Okay? However, we'll see the Ramah, but he continues. V'im, here's an important caveat. V'im yesh bo gechalim lo chashot. But what if you have coals that they're not doing so well? Right? They're whispering. They might go out. Mutar, then you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to open and close it because it's depending on the situation. If you open it, the wind might come and rejuvenate it. The oxygen. By opening it, you could be causing the gechalim to go, to get stronger. And if you close it, you can cause it to be extinguished. So it's a problem. If you have gechalim that are not in good condition, then it's a problem. You don't have to check and look and whatever the poskim say, but if you know for sure that there are gechalim lo chashot, so then there's a major problem. Okay. So we see the Shulchan Aruch is worried about extinguishing, right? We explained this. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is mainly worried about. However, let's say you're not worried about gechalim. They're in good condition. So then the Haggah says, but v'yesh machmirim. No, there are some who are machmir over and above the Shulchan Aruch. And says, no, you're not allowed to. Even if the gechalim are doing well, shaloli stor stimata tanur hatuach betit ayidei Yisrael. A Jew himself cannot do it because it's domel lebinyan. Im efshar lasot ayidei ein a Yehudi. If you can get a non-Jew to do it for you, if you have a non-Jew around, let's be machmer like the opinion who says not to, and therefore don't do it yourself. What if you don't have a goy? Then get a katan, a child, even if he's bar mitzvah, even that's not bar mitzvah, even if he's the age of chinuch. Then you're allowed to have a child do it, and better a child than a gadol. But what if there is no child who can do it? So then, okay, fine, do it yourself, but do it with a shinui. Hold your hand a little funny, or do something a little bit different than usual, and it's not a big deal. Okay, right? Because it's a chumrah, and we don't want you to ruin your own ekshavus. So we'll figure out a way, right? The chumrah, if possible, but if not, not. So some point out, so the Ramah, right, was more concerned, in addition, this Chumrah is for Binyan, we mentioned. Okay, that's the difference. Now, some point out, Piskei Tshuva, for example, that you see, this is just an example of, you see that if you're holding of a Chumrah, that there are times when you're a Machmer, but you're allowed Lechatchila, for the sake of Onek Shabbos, to ask a Katan to do it for you. We're talking about chumras. We're not talking about mikar din halachas. But if we're being machmer, it's okay for you to be machmer. But for the sake of Shabbos, we could be mekel to ask a katan. The example he gives, again, everyone's going to have their own example and their own opinion on the matter. Just for fun, he mentioned opening up bottles on Shabbos. So it depends if you what you hold of. But since there are poskim on both sides, even if you hold of one, that may be included in this kula. Okay, just right. But he says you should tell the child that when he gets older, he's not supposed to do this anymore, so that he doesn't learn. Okay, Vinir Eli, the Ramah continues. Hadim utarlach zerli stom v'atanur haynu bayom. This is during the daytime to close it. The kavar kolak derem mevushal kol tzarkan. Because then everything's mevushal kol tzarkan. Aval belayla samuch latmanato. But what happens Friday night, an hour right after, half an hour after you light candles? So he says, many times the food is not fully cooked. And if it's not fully cooked, and you close it, that's bishul. So then he says, so at nighttime, he says you should not close it. D'yesh l'stapek shema k'deret adayin ena mevushala kol tzarkan. And then it's asur listom hatanur. The garem bishul, because then you're causing bishul. And okay, v'afilu, he writes over here, we'll see, v'afilu aide en yehudi asur, and you can't even tell a non-Jew specifically to be closing it, because by closing it you're causing bishul in that case. Okay, all right, so that's a wrap for Hilchos Bishul and Hatzmana, until we get back to Shin Yud Chet. Reish Samech, Dinei Hachnasat Shabbat. So now, before Reish Mem, Reish Mem Bet, Reish Mem Tet, and the Reish Mems, we basically did Erev Shabbos, or during the whole week of getting ready for Shabbos. Now, we're talking about Kavod Shabbos, either on Shabbos or right before Shabbos. Okay. So that's the order. Aleph, mitzvah lirchotz. There's a mitzvah to bathe yourself. Right? Nowadays, I assume it's pashut with soap. Haga. Now, the mitzvah of bathing yourself is part of the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. And Mishnah Berurah points out it's not a absolute chiyuv darabanan to go bathe yourself, but it's a strong suggestion, and it's a definite kiyum of Kavod Shabbos, and you get reward for it. Just so we understand the gather. Okay. Haga, kol gufo. Obviously, we're talking about, he says, your whole body. Ve'im yevshalo, but if you can't, whatever reason, your chatzpana v'yada raglav, so at least do your face, hands, and legs. Ve'chamin be'erev Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, right? He's adding that into the Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't only mean the hands and feet, but that's the minimum. Umitzvah lachof harosh, and to what's it called? To rub, to clean your hair. Ulegaleach hatzipernayim, to cut your nails. Be'erev Shabbos, an erev Shabbos. Im hayu sa'arot rosho gedolot, mitzvah legochan. And if your hair is long, it's a mitzvah to cut them on erev Shabbos. U'kishenotel tzipernav, and when you cut your nails. So this is brought down by many. The Magen Avraham, the Mishneh Berurah recommends it. The order of how to cut your nails. But many, the Arizal, the Or Letzion, are nowadays in. We're not makpid on this one. Okay, but anyways, the order is V'yadchil b'smart. It says, Kishinotil yitz tziparnav lo yitol otan kisidran. Don't do it in order of thumb to pinky. But it should be V'yadchil b'smol. You should start with your left hand. Okay, but kmitza, you start with your fourth finger. V'yamin v'etzba. And you do your left hand. And then when you do your right hand, you start with your index finger, right? The one after the thumb. V'siman lazeh. And what's the order? You just remember this is the, like the Rosh Yetivos, or acronym. Dalet bet hey gimel aleph. Aleph would be your thumb. And then you just go in order to the pinky. So you start off, so it says you start off with your fourth finger. That's the dalet. That's with the small. And then with the yamin, with the bet, dalet, aleph, gimel, hey. And that's the order. Okay. There is an opinion not to cut your nails. Mishneh Berurah just points out that there's a minhag not to do it on Thursday. Okay. Mishneh Berurah points out not to do your hand nails and your fingernails and your toenails at the same day. Others, or Let Zion says Zimutr Lechatchila, and all these things are just chumras. They're not mikar din halachas, even for those who are keeping them. Okay, and the Sfardim are mikar lechatchila and all these things. That's the minhag the Kaf HaChaim brings down. And just to quote about cutting nails, that when you have the nails, the Gemara Moed Katan says, Asoref tzipernayim chasid, kovran sadiq, and zorkan is a rasha. If you burn them, that's the best. Then chasid, if you just bury them, you're a tzadik. And if you throw them in the garbage, just throw them on the floor where people could step on them in the same place, then you're a rasha. So why? Because if a woman who's pregnant steps on them, so it can lead to a miscarriage. Okay. Bet. Keshiyeh samuch l'chashecha, yishal anshe beito belashon rakah. You should have a pleasant voice. It's so important to always have a pleasant voice, especially Erev Shabbos and Shabbos, but always. Whenever you talk to people. Keshiyeh samuch l'chashecha, so right before Shabbos, what do you say to your family or to your wife? Isar tem, Erev tem, yifrashtem chala, did you take care of maisros and the Erev if it's needed? And for doing a frashas chala, v'yomar lahem hadliku etener. Then you say, okay, great, so go light the candles. And that's, again, nowadays the minhag is not to do these things, but you're welcome to. V'makom she'ein ma'asrin, when there's no, in a place where we don't do ma'asros, ein tzarech lomar isarten. Right? It's not a tefillah, it's not a special thing that you have to say in this order, these words. It's if it applies, then it's good to do it. If it doesn't apply, there's no need. Okay. Mishneh Berurah just points out an interesting thing. You tell them this, or remind them, right before Shabbos. Because if you tell them 2 hours before Shabbos, what's it going to help? People are going to say, I've got time. Right? That's human mentality. Because if you tell somebody too early to remind them, people like to procrastinate. So you don't really accomplish anything. And you're wasting your breath and you're bothering people for no reason. So do it when it counts. Okay. All right, let's move on. Reish Samech Aleph. Zman Adakat Anirat L'Shabbat. Okay, time for lighting. Aleph Safik Chashecha Avu Ben Hashmashot. The time where it's possibly dark and it's called Ben Hashmashot. We don't, it's suffix, it's a suffix of the night began. This is Bein Hashmashot between Shkia and Tzet HaKochavim. V'hainu k'dei shiur hilok shloshet rivei mil achar shkia tachama. So how long is this time, he writes? It's 3/4 of a meal. It's about, if a meal is, so it depends what a meal is, but it could be 13 minutes or a little bit more, depending what your meal is, 18 minutes, 24 minutes, whatever. V'shiur meal hu shlish sha'a pachot chelek shloshim. Right, so he says a meal is about 18 minutes, and therefore it's about 13 minutes is bein hashmashos. Ein ma'asrin. Now, we'll see, just a heads up. So there's one opinion, the Gra is famous for it, but it's not just, the Gra didn't make it up, from the Gaonim and others, Rishonim, that the Zman is from what we call sunset. You have 13 minutes, or whatever it is, and then you get to Benash, and then that's Tzeit. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it follows the Rabbeinu Tam, and he says basically, when we call Shkia, it's not Shkia. Shkia starts, blanking on the math, but some maybe 58 minutes, whatever, 50, 60, 50 something, 58 and a half, whatever it is. So 58 and a half minutes, so that's when Shkia starts. And before that, you can do Bishul and light fire. And then you get your 13 and a half minutes, and then you get your Tzeis. That's 72 minutes. So that's how that works out. Okay. Ein me'asrin et avadai, ve'ein matzbilin et hakelim, ve'ein madlikin et hanerot, ve'ein me'arvin, Erubei Techumin. So all these things, once it's been a shmashot, it's usher for a Jew to do. It's usher to do those things. Because it's Shabbos. We consider it Shabbos. So anything that's an Isser Daraisa, for sure you can't do. And pretty much anything that you can't do, so we'll see, there's exceptions. But anything that's it's Doma too in, anything that's an Isser Daraisa, or that resembles an Isser Daraisa on some level. That's the general rule. So what do we see? Doing masros, because you're metaking something. So again, it's only Nisa Darabanan, but it's modeled after an Nisa Daraisa. Ve'en matbilin at the kelim. Can't do tefillah. Also, it's fixing your kelim, right? Maka bepatish is the Daraisa. Again, this is even Dine Darabanan, but they're modeled after a Din Daraisa. Ve'en madlikin at hanerot. You also can't light candles. That'd be Nisa Daraisa. Ve'en me'arvin eruvei techumin. And you can't do eruvei techumin because you're kona shvita. You're acquiring a place. To be, when we get to Tchumin, we'll get explained better, but you're establishing, acquiring your new place. Aval, however, me'asrin into demai. So it's like a double suffix over here. Demai is stuff that you don't know. Most people did do Trumas and Masros, but some didn't. So since it's a chumrah or a suffix by, to do Masros on a demai, so abeina shmashos was a suffix laila, took a suffix sveika, we're meiko. So that you can do on at Bein HaShemashos. Right? The first 13 minutes, we're going with the 13 minutes here, but obviously there's a couple different opinions. It might depend on your latitude and, you know, how far you're above or below the equator. Okay, let's go on. V'tomnin et hachamin. And you can wrap up. You're allowed to do hatmana, whatever hatmana you're allowed to do. On Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to do Bein HaShemashos. Okay? Right, but it's Hatamana itself is not modeled after an Issa Daraisa. It's basically modeled after, it's really more of a Gzera than anything else, because we're afraid you might come, that might lead to Bishul. Or Havara, okay. Uma Arvin Eruv Chatzerot, and you're allowed to do an Eruv Chatzerot. Even during Benesh, because it's not modeled after an Issa Daraisa. So you're allowed to do an Eruv Chatzerot. Eruv Chatzeros, that's what we usually call by an Eruv, to connect people in an apartment or a city. If it's forgotten and it's a Bishat Adchak, of course you're allowed to do it Bein HaShemashos. Umutar, now here for all kinds of Isurid, here for all kinds of other Isurim, let's read. Mutar Lomar Le'eni Yehudi, but you are allowed to do Amira Le'akum. You're allowed to tell a non-Jew, not a Jew himself, but you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to do things bein hashmashot, to do an iser daraisa for you, if it's bein hashmashot, lahadlik ner litzorach shabbat, to light candles, if it is litzorach shabbat. Because we're going to see, V'chein lo marlo la'asot kol melacha she'ilat tzarech mitzvah or she'utarud v'nechpa zaleh. You're allowed to do a mir la'akum bein hashmashot, suffix, right? The suffix of today's Shabbos or not. You're allowed to for any iser, if as long as it's tzarech mitzvah, it's tzarech Shabbos, or by not having it done, it's going to really bother you. It's going to bother you on Shabbos. It's going to really bother you. So then you're allowed to. Another example is if you're taking care of any needs for a chola, that could be or pain, refuah. You're allowed to have a goy do things for you. Perhaps if you have like a piece of skin that's really bothering you and you want him to cut it off for you, just don't help him. Okay. Hagah. I think we're good. Hagav, v'chein mi shekibel alav Shabbat sha'ah u'shtatayim kodem chashecha yachol lomar le'en Yehudi la'adlik haner u'shar dvarim shetzarech. Okay, certainly if a person accepted upon himself Shabbos, if a person accepted upon himself Shabbos early, you did early Shabbos for yourself, so here, so then, I think we're going to get to this later. So there's a discussion if this was done by a yachid or a tzibur. So this comes up again. We're going to see this again later when we say barchu. But, okay, for these purposes, if you accept it upon yourself as an Shabbos early, then you are allowed to tell a goy. Okay? It's similar to bein hashmashot. Certainly if you're an individual. If it's a tzibur who accepts and the whole city accepts it, we'll see, it might be a little different. But certainly if it's an individual who accepts, it's certainly you're allowed to tell a goy to do anything that's needed. But, yesh ramim shetzarich la'osif mechol HaKodesh, some say that there's a mitzvah to add Tosefes Shabbos. Right? Everyone says there's Tosefes Shabbos by when? Yom Kippur. Machlokes, if it applies to Shabbos. If it applies on a deraisa level as an obligation. Of course, everybody knows, agrees, you could accept Shabbos early, and you could do Tosefes Shabbos, and it works. That everybody agrees. The question is it a deraisa and is it a chiyuv? Okay? We'll see the earliest is going to be Plaga Mincha. We'll see that soon. If you try and accept Shabbos before Plaga Mincha, an hour and a quarter, you accomplish nothing. Okay. It's like accepting it on Thursday. Uzaman tosefet zehu b'tchilat hashkia she'en ha-shemesh nir'et ala aretz ad zman b'en ha-shmashet v'azman hazeh shu shloshet milin reviya ratza lahosif ratza la'asoto kulo tosefet ose. So he says, the proper time for Tosefes Shabbos, when is it? He says, it starts from when you can't see the sun anymore. When you can't see the sun anymore, until bein hashmashot. Right, that's your 58 minutes. So he says what we call shkia, starting from shkia until his bein hashmashot, 58 minutes. He says that's the proper time to do Tosefet Shabbos. Okay. Again, you can do it a little bit earlier, but he says that's his, according to him, that's his proper time. And obviously the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu Tam's, Plaga Mincha is going to be different than what we normally call Plaga Mincha. But again, okay, let's go on. So you can do it as little as you want. Tosefes Shabbos could be just, a couple minutes, a minute, something before. It has to be a time, though, that is vadayom. So for us, Tosefes Shabbos must be before what we call sunset. Okay. Shall we continue? Let's see if we finish. Vishir is man. You know what? We'll stop here. Continue tomorrow. I already went too far.